is Catherine, and you are now listening to Healing Hearts and Vision on Blog Talk Radio, Rebirth for Love, with your host, Judy Blackley. She is a native of Savannah, Georgia, began her support ministry at age 6 when a young lady in her dance class was stricken with meningitis and died quickly from the disease. Through the years, she has reached out to many more who experienced grief, needing her empathy and compassion. Volunteering with families of head trauma patients, she developed a better understanding of the grieving process. 10 years ago, she discovered herself supporting families of murdered individuals as well. Now a resident of NC, she works online as a chaplain to those who are hurting from all denominations and faiths. Chaplain Judy, grief counselor and online chaplain, guides people through the grieving process, whether it be those who have suffered a tragic and sudden loss, to those who watch their family or friend dwindle away. She brings to the table practical guidance, allowing the griever to acknowledge and feel all the emotions that are part of our human experience without guilt or judgment, while imparting to them pathways to recovery. With God's guidance and support, she is a heart mender. Welcome to Healing Hearts and Vision.
Mike, I'm dedicating this show to you. Although you'll be hearing this in heaven, I pray that sharing your story can help those on earth who are contemplating suicide or the family of those who've committed suicide. You are missed, my friend, by all who met you and knew you. I pray healing for your family and ask God to use your story in a mighty way so that the tragedy will change to triumph when one or even more lives are saved. I'm grateful to Rebirth for Love to have given us this platform to deliver a message of hope and love. Father God, watch over your children, we pray, and bless them. Help me today to bring a message of hope. Bless Catherine and Jackson as they bring the youth perspective. And we thank you. Amen. How do we recognize signs of depression? Sometimes situations grab hold of us, such as the death of a parent, loss of income, loss of a close friendship, or even loss of a pet. When these things we experience happen, we feel sadness. That's normal, and sadness comes in many forms and leaves when it's been successfully replaced. But there are times when sadness takes over. Some people describe depression as living in a black hole, or a feeling of impending doom. However, some depressed people don't feel sad at all. They may feel lifeless, empathy, apathy, and emptiness. And in particular, men may even feel angry, aggressive, or restless. Whatever the symptoms, depression is different from normal sadness in that it engulfs your life day to day, interfering with your ability to work, study, eat, sleep, and have fun. The feelings of helplessness, hopelessness, and worthlessness are intense and unrelenting, with little, if any, relief. If you identify with several of the following signs or symptoms and they just won't go away, you may be suffering from clinical depression. You can't sleep or you sleep too much. You can't concentrate or find previously easy tasks now that difficult. You feel hopeless and helpless. You can't control your negative no matter how much you try. You have lost your appetite or you can't stop eating. You are much more irritable, short-tempered, and aggressive than usual. You're consuming more alcohol than normal people or engaging in other reckless behavior. You have thoughts that life is not worth living. Seek help immediately if this is the case. Some of the signs and depression and symptoms of depression include the feelings of helplessness and hopelessness, a bleak outlook, nothing will ever get better and there's nothing you can do to improve your situation, loss of interest in daily activities, no interest in former hobbies, pastimes, social activities, or even intimacy. You've lost your ability to feel joy and pleasure. Your appetite or weight changes. Significant weight loss or weight gain, even more than 5% of your body weight in a month. You have changes in your sleep, either insomnia, especially waking in the early hours of the morning, or oversleeping, also known as hypersomnia. The anger or irritability, feeling agitated, restless, or even violent. Your tolerance level is low, your temper short, and everything and everyone gets on your nerves. You have a loss of energy, feeling fatigued, sluggish, and physically drained. Your whole body may feel heavy, and even small tasks are exhausting or take longer to complete. You may have self-loathing, strong feelings of worthlessness or guilt. You harshly criticize yourself for perceived faults, mistakes. You show restless behavior. You engage in an escape behavior such as substance abuse. You may go through compulsive gambling, reckless driving, or dangerous sports. You have problems concentrating. Trouble focusing, making decisions, or remembering things. Or you may feel unexplained aches and pains. An increase in physical complaints such as headaches, backaches, muscle aches, and stomach pain. Depression is a major risk factor for suicide. The deep despair and hopelessness that goes along with depression can make suicide feel like the only way to escape the pain. Thoughts of death are a serious symptom of depression, so take suicidal talk or behavior seriously. It's not just a warning sign that the person is thinking about suicide. It's a cry for help. Warning signs of impending suicide include talking about killing or harming oneself, expressing strong feelings of hopelessness or being trapped, an unusual preoccupation with death or dying, acting restlessly as if they have a death wish, for example, speeding through red lights, calling or visiting people to say goodbye, getting affairs in order, giving away prized possessions, tying up loose ends, saying things like, everyone would be better off without me, or I want out. A sudden switch from being extremely depressed to acting happy. Now I'd like to tell you Mike's story. Mike, I hope that your story helps at least one person to know the signs and be willing to act. Mike was 14, a star athlete, a leader in his church group, a jokester. One month, I noticed a change starting to come over him. He stayed by himself more than he had. He listened to darker music than he had before and didn't participate in the activities as he had. I asked him if everything was okay, and he said he didn't want to talk about it. Then Mike started fighting kids verbally and sometimes physically. I spoke to one of his parents who said he had had the flu the month before, and he was a sensitive child. And they thought his fights were just play fighting and nothing serious. I asked Mike if he would speak with one of the other leaders he trusted, and he said that they had nothing to talk about. One day he came with some of his favorite CDs and video games and gave them away. He said he was tired of them. I recognized the signs and once again tried to speak with a parent about my concerns, even a friend of the parents, but everyone said I was overreacting. One day, one of the youth leader's wife called me to tell me that Mike had died that morning from a joke gone wrong. We knew what had happened, but the family and even the pastor could not believe Mike would do something like that. The day of his funeral, it was standing room only. Mike was loved, for sure, but no one would see the signs even still. It didn't matter. He's dead either way, one of his friends said, but it did. The school shortly after did a suicide watch campaign. Many of the students went, and I hope that some listened. Whether it be a young person or an adult, please, if you see the signs of suicide, get help. Catherine and Jacqueline will be joining us in the next segment. I am so proud of them and how they've blossomed. These are two teens who will go far in life, and it's a privilege to be with them on our podcast as well as our broadcast. We believe we will be seeing great things in their future. Now I'd like to play Be Thou My Vision by Jackson with Jackson Calvert.
Thank you.
Thank you, Judy. We have some great news. We will be launching our own teen show in the near future. Stay tuned for updates. Let's talk about teen suicide. Suicide is a very hard subject to talk about. No one likes to talk about someone taking their life, but we must, because about 3,000 youth die by suicide each year in the United States, making it the third leading cause of death in youth ages 10 through 24. Latino and African American teenage girls are thought to attempt suicide more often than their age peers who are male or of other ethnic backgrounds. Warning signs for teen suicide can include the following. Number 1, a sudden change in behavior. Number 2, lack of motivation. Number 3, social withdrawal or isolation. Number 4, a change in eating patterns. Number 5, preoccupation with death or dying. Number 6, giving away valued personal possessions. Number 7, symptom or signs of depression. Number 8, increased moodiness. Number 9, hopelessness, no hope for the future. Number 10, fear of losing control. Number 11, low self-esteem. Number 12, engage in risk-taking behaviors. Number 13, lost interest in school or sports. And number 14, have trouble concentrating or thinking clearly. The reasons behind a teen's suicide or attempted suicide can be complex. Suicide attempts increases tremendously during adolescence. The risk of suicide increases dramatically when kids and teens have access to firearms at home. And nearly 60% of all the suicides in U.S. are committed with a gun. That's why any gun in your home should be unloaded, locked, and kept out of reach of children and teens. Overdose, using over-the-counter prescription and non-prescription medicine, is also a very common method for both attempting and completing suicide. It's important to monitor carefully all medications in your home. Also, teens will trade different prescription medications at school and carry them or store them in their locker or backpack. Suicide rates differ between boys and girls. Girls think about and attempt suicide about twice as often as boys and tend to attempt suicide by overdosing on drugs or cutting themselves. Yet boys die by suicide about 4 times as often as girls, perhaps because they tend to use more lethal methods such as firearms, etc. Suicide among teens often occurs following a stressful life event, such as problems at school, a breakup with a boyfriend or girlfriend, the death of a loved one, a divorce, or a family conflict. Many teens who commit or attempt suicide have given some type of warning to loved ones ahead of time. It is so important for parents to know the warning signs so teens who might be suicidal can get the help they need. Some adults feel that kids who say they are going to hurt or kill themselves are just doing it for attention. It's important to realize that if teens are ignored when seeking attention, it may increase the chance of them harming themselves or worse. It is important to see warning signs as serious. Keep a close eye on a teen who is depressed and withdrawn. Understanding depression in teens may take the form of problems with friends, grades, sleeping or being cranky and irritable rather than chronic sadness or crying. It's important to keep the lines of communication open and express your concern and support and love for your teen. Also, teens, express your feelings. Do not hold them inside. Talk with your parents or loved ones. What you are feeling will not go away. Nothing good comes out of holding your feelings inside. Remember, teens, your parents and loved ones were once teens themselves. They will understand and can help you. If you don't feel comfortable talking with your parent, talk with a school counselor, mentor, a clergy member, etc. Just remember, you are not alone. It's important not to minimize or discount what your teen is going through, as it can increase his or her sense of hopelessness. I would like to turn the show over to my brother Jackson as he talks about parents dealing with teen suicide.
Thank you, Catherine. Some parents are reluctant to ask teens if they have been thinking about suicide or hurting themselves. Some fear that by asking, they will plant the idea of suicide in their teen's head. It is always a good idea to ask. Remember to always keep the lines of communication open. Problems will not go away. They must be talked about and solved. If you learn that your teen is thinking about suicide, get help immediately. Your doctor can refer you to a psychologist or a psychiatrist, or your local hospital's department of psychiatry can provide a list of doctors in your area. Your local mental health association or county medical society can also provide references. In an emergency, you can call 800-SUICIDE. If your teen is in a crisis situation, your local emergency room can conduct a comprehensive psychiatric evaluation and refer you to the appropriate resources. If you've scheduled an appointment with a mental health professional, make sure to keep the appointment even if your teen says he or she is feeling better or does not want to go. Suicidal thoughts do tend to come and go. However, it is important that your teen gets help developing the skills necessary to decrease the likelihood that suicidal thoughts and actions will emerge again. If your teen refuses to go to the appointment, discuss this with a mental health professional. The clinician can help you devise strategies to help your teen want to get help. What should you do if someone your teen knows has attempted or committed suicide? First, acknowledge your teen's many emotions. These may be feelings of guilt. They may feel that they could have interpreted their friend's actions or words better. Some may feel angry with the person who committed or attempted suicide for having done something so selfish. Others may feel no strong emotions or don't know how to express how they feel. It's okay to talk about it when they feel ready. I will turn the show back over to my sister, and she will discuss losing a teen to suicide.
Thank you, Jackson. If you have lost a teen to suicide, it is the most painful loss imaginable. The pain and grief can be intensified. Although these feelings may never completely go away, survivors of suicide can take steps to begin the healing process. Number one, maintain contact with others. Suicide can be a very isolating experience for surviving family members because friends often don't know what to say or how to help. Seek out supportive people to talk with about your child and your feelings. If those around you seem uncomfortable about reaching out, initiate the conversation and ask for help. Never be afraid to ask for help. Number two, remember that your other family members are grieving too, and that everyone expresses grief in their own way. Your other children may try to deal with their pain alone as to not burden or bother you with additional worry. Be there for each other through the tears, anger, and silences, and if necessary, seek help and support together. Number 3. Expect that birthdays, anniversaries, and holidays may be difficult. Important days and holidays often reawaken a sense of loss and anxiety. On those days, do what's best for your emotional needs, whether that means surrounding yourself with family and friends or planning a quiet day of reflection. Number 4. It is normal to feel guilty and to question how this could have happened, but it's also important to realize that you might never get the answers you seek. The healing that takes place over time comes from reaching a point of forgiveness for both your child and yourself. Number 5. Counseling and support groups help you realize you are not alone. Some family members become part of the suicide prevention network that helps parents, teenagers, and schools learn how to help prevent future tragedies. I will now read a teen suicide story called Teen Suicide: Hidden Pain Leads to Tragic Action. Not long ago, 14-year-old Sydney Sanders killed herself. Her mother found her. For Sydney's mom and sister, the range of emotions is raw. They can't bear even to go back to their home. They shared their story so other families can avoid the pain they are experiencing. "It hurts and it's hard," said Sydney's mother, Laura Lane. "But I was blessed to have her in my life for 14 years, and she would say to me, 'Mama, suck it up.'" Sucking it up isn't so easy for a grieving mom. Lane said that her daughter called her that day and talked to her on the phone. "I love you, Mama. I promise you I'm going to be all right. I'm going to read my Bible. I love you, and I will see you when you get home," Laura Lane recalls Sydney saying. Those were Sydney's last words to her mother. Lane discovered Sydney dead in her bedroom. It was a scene which forced her to abandon her home, the culmination of a family crisis that had started 3 months ago. "There were no signs," Lane says. "None, never, not even for the first attempt, none." The first attempt was the red flag for Lane. It was Valentine's Day morning. Sydney's 17-year-old sister, Kaylee, walked in on her younger sister. "I tried to open the door, and it was locked," Kaylee recalls. "She never locks her doors, and it scared me. I went through the bathroom. She has Band-Aids all over her. She took her Band-Aids off and showed me the holes. She had all cuts all over her neck, marks all over, and I was scared." Kaylee says she yelled at her sister. "I told her she was crazy," Kaylee recalls. "She just sat there, just as calm as she could be, and said she didn't know what happened." Sydney's family took her to the hospital where the truth was revealed. She came home 10 days later. "She had gotten into some medication," Lane says. "She tried to cut her throat many times and had stabbed herself in areas of her body. They told me she did it to herself. I broke down. I was devastated," Kaylee says. "Something was wrong. You just don't wake up out of the blue and do that. Something was going on." She never spoke about it again, didn't discuss it again. She told her close friends about it and never talked about it again, Lane says. "She told me some things she didn't want Mom to know, and she looked me straight in the face and said,
I love you and always will, but I didn't want to wake up the next morning. As praying to God, I will be gone before you all woke up, Kaylee says. Lane took Sydney to counseling. She says that Sydney was angry and that she made her go back. After she talked to the counselor, she said, "Thank you. It's nice to have someone I can speak to just talk," Lane remembers. "I had doctors tell me she would never do it again. I had therapists tell me she would never do it again." Kaylee, however, wasn't so sure and left home. "I had to get out of there," she explains. "I didn't want to wake up and have my sister be gone and me see it. I don't know what would have happened to me if I saw that. I was scared she would hurt me or my mom or she would do it again. I told her that over and over again, and no one listened to me." On April 5th, Lane found Sydney. She had hung herself from the attic in her bedroom. Lane was devastated. "Even if I got there immediately, I had been told I would not have been able to save my daughter's life," she says. "I was more angry at the time when I found out than I was hurt, because running through my mind, I knew my mom was going to be the first person to find her," Kaylee says. "I just didn't know how she could do this to my mom at all. The pain and confusion led to the question everyone is still asking. Why, 14 years old, beautiful, athletic, popular, she had everything going for her. For my eyes, she did," Kaylee says. "The answer, however, is not black and white. She did not have symptoms of anything. She was not clinically depressed. No medications, no drugs. She was a typical teenager," Lane says. "In the beginning, she was isolated a little bit, and things had been going on in circumstances. She told me everything and got through it. There's only two people who know, and that's God and her," she continues. "She obviously didn't want anyone to know and kept it to herself," Kaylee adds. "It hurts losing someone you love. I don't want anyone to go through that at all." Lane says finding the reason why is not going to fix what happened to her daughter or explain her daughter's actions. "If we can use her life as an example to fix the ones who are still here in my daughter's death, I hope and pray there will be many changes and there will be lives saved and something wonderful will come out of something so tragic," Lane says. She is working on a nonprofit foundation called Forever for Change to promote suicide awareness and counseling. The bottom line, know your children, get them to talk, and get help. It does get better. I will close the show by playing the song It Is Well. Let it be well with your soul. So many teens feel there is no hope, but Jesus is the way. He is the light. Nothing is worth taking your life.